Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Ruth chapter number 1, I want to pick up reading in verse number 19. And, of course, I'll fill you in on what's going on in the chapter before I really get to the message. The Bible said, so they two went until they come to Bethlehem. The two right there is Naomi and Ruth. That is who the Bible is referring to. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? If you write in your Bible, I would invite you to circle that word moved right there. I'm going to come back to it and deal with it in a little while. The Bible said in verse number 20, and she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord brought me home again empty. Why then call me Mara, call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Man, that's so interesting right there. They came back at a new season, at a fresh time, at a harvest time in Bethlehem. Now, know what the Bible said in verse number 20. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. The name means bitterness is what it means. But know what the Bible said, and they came to Bethlehem, the last part of verse 22, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Now, I want to preach on this thought for just a little while this morning, from Mara to mercy, from Mara to mercy. Father, I love you today, and you know the very need of this service, Father. Lord, I really believe that before the foundations of the world was ever laid, you knew who would be sitting here today. You knew what I would be preaching today. So, God, I pray, Lord, that your will and way would be done in the service. I pray, God, that you would help me to recall the things that I've studied this week, God, and even in the early morning hours, the things that I studied today. God, I pray that you would bring those things back to our remembrance today. God, I pray, Lord, that if there's any here lost, that you would save them. Any here out of your will, bring them close to you, God. I pray, Lord, that you'd turn us into a preacher today. God, give us fresh oil as only you can. I'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to look at the life of Naomi for just a little while today. Whenever you come to the book of Ruth and you begin to study the book of Ruth, you'll find that the majority of these four chapters is dealing with a lady by the name of Ruth, and rightfully so. However, there is a lady by the name of Naomi that is mentioned here. Can I just say it this way? Ruth would not be where Ruth is at if it wasn't for Naomi whenever we study the Word of God today. Now, it's rightfully so that the majority of the preaching is on Ruth, but I want to look at Naomi for just a little while today. Have you ever noticed how quickly life can change? One moment, Naomi has a husband, she's got two children, and she's living in Moab. The next moment, she has lost her husband, he's dead, both of her boys are dead, one of her daughter-in-law stays in Moab, and her and Ruth returns to the place called Bethlehem, and there she says this, don't call me Naomi, just call me Mara. In other words, there has been some drastic changes in her life. Whenever you study the word Naomi out and the name Naomi, know me. It simply means this. It means pleasant. It means delightful. It means sweet. And Naomi says this, no longer call me pleasant. No longer call me sweet. No longer call me delightful. Just call me bitter. That's what I need you to call me. Hear me and hear me well today. That is exactly what sin does to our life. Sin, it's been stated, will take you further than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And it'll cost you more than you want to pay. Whenever you begin the story in chapter number 1, in verse number 1, the Bible said, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judea, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. I began to think about this. How did Ruth go from Bethlehem, Judea, which is the house of bread, to Moab, which is God's wash pot? How did she get from living, can I just say it this way, from living in the center of God's will, from enjoying a peaceful life and a sweet life in the presence of God, to a place by the end of the chapter that she is saying, just call me bitter? Here's the way. She started with a choice. Can I just say that again? Y'all thought I was going to give you something deep, didn't you? I just did. It all started with a choice. Now, you've heard me say this before, but allow me to spend a little bit more time on it this morning. I truly believe that Naomi had a strong pull on her husband Elimelech to go to Moab. I believe that she influenced him to do that. You say, well, preacher, why do you think that? Here's the reason that I think that. After Elimelech dies, she don't immediately return back to Bethlehem. What does she do? She camps out for 10 years. What did the Bible say? The Bible said this, that they was going to sojourn. Here's what that means, to dwell or live in a place as a temporary resident. You know what happens in verse number 2? The Bible says this, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there. It means to exist or to become. You know what they done? They decided that they would just hang out a while down in Moab. Maybe everything looked better down in Moab. You know, I find this interesting. She went out full. Even though it was a time of famine, she still went out full. God was still meeting their needs. But maybe Moab looked a little bit better. Let me tell you something today. That's exactly what the world does today. It makes it look like it's a little bit better. It makes it look like the grass is a little bit greener. And hear me and hear me well. The grass usually is a little bit greener over the septic tank. This world will pull you towards it. And Naomi ends up living in Moab. How did she get there? Oh, I understand. I understand that Elimelech probably led his family. But you know what? I've seen a lot of men get out of God's will that don't know how to get mad right here, okay? But because of a nagging woman. Now, you can say amen or oh me, and all you men scared to death say amen right now. Matter of fact, some of you men has done things that wasn't a sin, shopping's borderline. But you've done things, why? Because your wife wanted you to. Some of y'all say amen, check your little heads up and down right there. Elimelech may have been looking that way, but I really believe Naomi pulled him to the world, and she ends up staying even after he's dead. She could have went back right then, but her rebellion left her there. Her rebellion resulted in her husband and both of her boys being dead. Here's one thing that I find interesting. I'm trying to get to where I want to get. I might preach an hour and a half this morning. Just stay with me. Here's what I find interesting. Nowhere in the beginning of these verses, Brother Robert, do I find that Elimelech says, hey, Naomi, before we make this move, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a few days away from everybody, and I'm going to fast, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask God, God, is this what you want for my family? God, is this the decision that is going to be pleasing to you? Hear me and hear me well, men. If we'll seek the Lord, if we'll fast, if we'll pray, God will show us if the decision's right. Nowhere does he do that, so he leads his family right off. Well, what did the Bible say? The Bible said this in James. The Bible said this, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. They give it to all men liberally and upholdeth not, or upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But what does they do? They go to Moab. I thought about this as you roll through chapter number 1. There's her rebellion. There's the result of it. There's the repentance. She arose with her daughter-in-laws that she might return from the country of Moab. That's when she gets right with God. It's not in verse 19 and 20 and 21. She gets right with God in verse 6. There is her repentance. There's her resolve. So they two went. Verse number 19. There's the rebuke. But then there's the return and the reassurance. I thought about this when she gets to verse 21. She says this in verse 20. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me again empty. I believe Naomi thought that her story was over right there. I believe Naomi thought, man, you know what? I've missed God. I should have come back as soon as Elimelech died. I've made a mess of my life. Lord, I've made a mess of this. It's all over now, but can I tell you something? God's grace was about to rewrite the story of her life. Yes, you may be here today. You may have walked away from God. You may have backslid on God. You may be out of the will of God today. You may be thinking in your mind, will God ever use me? Will God ever do anything with me? Will God ever make anything out of me? Well, let's just look at the life of Naomi a minute and see, because God can take your Mara and show you mercy. Number one this morning, I want you to see this. I see her return. Number one, her return from bitterness to Bethlehem. From bitterness to Bethlehem. You know what some of y'all need to do this morning? And I'm not going to preach on this, but let me tell you what some of y'all need to take your bitterness to Bethlehem. Can I just say that? All that that's held up inside of you, those things that you won't let go of, it's written all over your face. You're a miserable person. You're going to die a miserable death because of bitterness in your life. I promise you there's a God that will help you with that if you'd but give that to Him and leave it with Him. From bitterness to Bethlehem. I've already said this, but in verse number 1 and 2, they walk away. Naomi comes to a place where she realizes that mistakes have been made and decides it's time to start making the right choice. It's time to start going in the right direction. She's going from bitterness to Bethlehem. There is a return that is being made. Watch this in her return. There's Naomi's needful message. Look with me in verse number 6. Chapter 1, verse 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. I want to say this to you. I don't know how she heard, but she heard. It's 50 miles from Bethlehem to Moab. They don't have a car. They probably don't have a buggy. Probably they have walked that 50 miles. That's the way that they wind up where they're at. But some way, somehow, a word got back to her that everything was all right at Bethlehem. Can I just say that again? Some way, somehow, a word got to her that everything was all right at Bethlehem. Can I tell you something today? This world will leave you high and dry. This world will leave you wanting everything else. But I've got real good news. I've got a word over here in Bethlehem. There's still bread. God's children still all right. God's still providing for His own. There was a word that got to her. I began to think about that. And my mind went to Joshua chapter number 2. In Joshua chapter number 2, there's a woman that all times in the Bible, with the exception of the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ, she's referred to as Rahab the harlot. That's what she's referred to as. When you go to Matthew chapter 1 and the genealogy of Christ, she's not referred to as Rahab the harlot. Let me tell you the reason why. She found mercy and she found grace over there in Joshua chapter number 2. Whenever they went into Canaan's land and God allowed her to be part of the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she's not a harlot there. She's just Rahab. But when you read Joshua chapter number 2, you know what the Bible said? The Bible said this, that they had heard what the Lord had done crossing the Red Sea. You mean tell you the way they heard? Somebody went and told them. They didn't have Facebook. They didn't have Instagram. They didn't have TikTok. They didn't have text messages. They didn't have a telephone. They didn't have a can and a string. No, somebody went to where they was at in the condition they was in. And they said, hey, let me tell you something. God divided the Red Sea and brought the children of Israel across on dry land. Let me tell you what happened to Rahab. Here's exactly what happened. Or what happened to Naomi. Here's what happened. She's living down there out of God's will, in a mess in her life. Oh, but somebody goes to where she's at and says this, hey, back in Bethlehem, God's taking care of His own. Can I say something to you today? What we need to do is go to Rahab and go to Naomi and say, hey, listen, over there at the church house, everything's all right. She heard. Somebody went and told her. Somebody went and told her. Naomi's needful message. I want to ask you a question today. Who have you told this week? Who have you told this week? Here's what we do, and I'm headed to that moved. Verse number 19, I'm going to preach about an hour on it when I get there. We are moved the biggest part of the time. That's an interesting word. I'm going to talk to you about it in a minute. Instead of, man, there's bread up here. Let me tell you what this world needs. Let me tell you what me and Brother Andrew was just talking about, the addiction problem in our county. Let me tell you what they need. They need Jesus. They don't need somebody. They don't need somebody to look at. At them and tell them how low of a life that they're living. They don't need somebody to look at them and tell them how sorry they are. Let me tell you the truth. They already know that. Let me tell you what we need to tell them. Here's what we need to tell them. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblems of suffering and shame. We need to tell them there's bread, man. There's bread. There's bread. I read this story. I'll give it to you and move on. 1945. Brother Robert remembers this year. 1945, World War II came to an end. Japan had surrendered, the fighting had stopped, and peace had been declared. But in the jungles of the Pacific, some Japanese soldiers never heard the news. They stayed hidden for years, sometimes even decades, still fighting a war that was already over. One of the most famous was Hara Ono, who remained in the Philippines, living off the land until 1974, nearly 29 years after the war had ended. Think about that. The war was finished. Victory was won. But because he never received the message, he lived like a prisoner of war, afraid, weary, and fighting battles that no longer had to be fought. Maybe, just maybe, we need to go tell them, hey, there's a battle that's already been fought. There's a war that's already been fought. Victory's already been won. Hey, Jesus has already paid. Amen. Jesus has already paid the debt. How was her bitterness turned into a blessing? Somebody went and told her. I thought about this. There is Naomi's needful message, but look in verse number 7. The Bible said in verse number 7, wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was. And tell you what that is, man. The repentance has already been made. That's a resolve now. She's leaving the lifestyle. Are you with me? She's leaving the lifestyle. And can I just say this? That's what true repentance will always produce. It'll produce, I'm preaching good right there. It'll produce a change in life. It'll produce a change in direction. Know what happens? Wherefore she went forth out from the place where she was, and her two daughter-in-laws with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. Naomi's noticeable move. It's one thing to hear, and then after you hear, even to say, I'm going to quote-unquote get right with God. It's another thing to do it. Can I say that again? It's another thing to do it. She just didn't hear. She just didn't say, she done it, man. She walked away from the life that she knew. She walked away from the people that had become her family. She's been gone for over 10 years. And you know what she does? She makes a noticeable move. I truly believe the heart of Naomi always longed for Bethlehem. Let me tell you the reason why. Once you've been in Bethlehem, you'll never be satisfied till you're back in Bethlehem again. Can I say that again? Once you've tasted the bread, my daddy would say it this way, once you've been under the spout where the glory runs out, you'll never be satisfied till you get back to Monday morning. Miss Leslie and I got up early, and we was in Seven Devils. If you've never been to Seven Devils, it's a very interesting place to go. We got up early Monday morning, and we drove down the road a little ways, and there was a little waterfall hike there. It was like a mile and a half. It wasn't nothing to it. But anyway, we walked out there to eat and come back, and we rode back down towards Boone. And as we was riding down through there, we seen a little fruit stand. It had natural stuff, and I told her, I said, I bet there's some good stuff in there. So we went in there, and whenever we went in there, they had just delivered, it was still warm. They had just delivered a homemade sourdough bread. Somebody say amen for a homemade warm sourdough bread. And I told Leslie, I said, I'm probably going to partake of that. She said, I think it would be a good thing. So we got it, and we got some peaches, and we went over here, and there was this little, they had homemade jams and jellies. It was all natural, and there was one that was peach butter. And I thought, boy, I've had a lot of apple butter, Miss Ellen. I remember 2 years ago when I had meningitis and I got home, I ate like 2 jars of apple butter from Miss Ellen in about 3 weeks because that's about all I could eat. Boy, I'd make that gluten-free bread, and I mean, I'd lay it full of that apple butter. And I thought, I've never had no peach butter. I told Miss Leslie, I said, we probably ought to get some of that. And she said, I think it'd be a good idea. I said, Olivia would like that. She said, John probably would. And I said, yeah, he probably will. So we got that. We went back to the house that we were staying in. Whenever we got there, I put that little piece of, that big piece of sourdough bread in the oven or in a little toaster there. And I just got it good and toasted. Y'all know what I'm talking? Just good, not burnt, just right. And I got me a butter knife, and I got that peach butter out. And I slapped it across that, and then I licked the knife to make sure it's going to taste all right, and then put the knife back down in the peach butter, and they don't know it. Y'all have already eat all of it now, so it don't matter. And I thought, man, this is going to be good. And I bit into that, and can I tell you something? I'll not be satisfied until I get another piece of sourdough bread like that with some peach butter on it. So, preacher, what are you saying? Once you've had the bread, once you've been in church, once you've experienced the peace of God, you remember what her name meant? Sweet, peaceful. Once you have had that, I want you to listen to me. You can run to Moab all you want to run, but I promise you, you're never going to find the sweetness and the peacefulness and the bread like you had until you come back to Bethlehem. I really believe deep down in her heart, she always wanted to go back to Bethlehem. I'm going to knock out about five boxcars right here, but I want you to see something. I told you, come start playing. I told you I really wanted to show you this, and I'm going to show it to you before. This is just my first point. I'll not even get to the other ones. We'll look at them tonight. Know what she said in verse number 20. Here's what she said. And she said unto them, who is them? I don't know if y'all read your Bible like that, but I do. Well, who is them? Who's she talking to? Well, verse number 19. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. Well, if she was just talking to Ruth, I believe the Bible would have said, she said to her. Them, there's more than just her. There's multiple people. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? Verse 20 said, and she said unto them. She responds after they are moved about her. Brother Lloyd, I always read that. And I just thought, well, everybody kind of swarmed around her. Y'all with me? That's just what I thought. But there's so much more to that word. It's the reason you study your Bible, not just read it. Look what she said in verse number 20. She said unto them, who is them? All them people in Bethlehem. Who is them? That's all them people in Bethlehem. Watch this. And she said to them, call me not Naomi. Call me Mara. She says, after they say, oh, is this name on? Yes, 10 years had left a mark on her life. No doubt her hair had changed colors some. No doubt there was a lot of wrinkles on her face. She's buried her husband and both of her boys. The rebellion had resulted in retaliation from God towards her, and God worked on her. God, can I say it this way? God corrected her. Are you with me? God dealt with her. You know what she's doing? Can I say it this way? She's coming back to church. She's repented. She's left the world. She's come back to Bethlehem, man. She's come back where the bread's at. And what does she say to the people there? Oh, is this Naomi? She says, well, just don't call me that. Call me Mara. You know what the word moved means? Here's what it means whenever you study it out in verse 19. It means to stir And listen to this. Are you ready? Murmur. It means to stir and to murmur. Here is, kindly, what it went like. Addie, come here and help me preach. I'm looking at Shannon and Morgan and Tanya, and I'm scared of them. Go over there. Come here, boys. Come here, come here, come here. Come here, Brother Robert. Come here, Miss Leslie. Go back here to the back, Naomi, and start walking down, okay? Open the door like you're coming in from outside. Don't go outside because that door's locked and you won't be able to get back in. Okay, now start coming down. Just real slow. Whoa, whoa, whoa. No, you, Addie, slow down. Hang your head down. Don't smile. You're bitter. Hey, hey, is that Naomi? Huh. Look, what's she doing here? Don't you, that's the one that run off. That's the one that left and went to Moab. What's she doing back here? Hey, hey, come here, man. Come here and look. Tell us. Do you think that's Naomi? Boy, sin sure left a mark on her life, didn't it? She don't even look like the same one. Say something bad. Yeah. Is that really her? Hey, you think that's her? She used to come here. Boy, she looks bad, don't she? She, wonder why, hope she don't sit around my kids. Hope she don't, surely she ain't, hey, Mama, put the Bible over. Mama, get the kids, get them over the side. That's Naomi. Come on, Naomi, go sit down. That's exactly what that means. That's it. You know, let me tell you the reason I think she said, call me Mara. It's because of the way everybody in Bethlehem treated her when she came back. Do you not think she knew God had dealt with her? She's buried three people. She's buried her husband. She's buried her boys. She's got a daughter-in-law that stayed and one that came. She's already repented. I said she's already repented. Before she ever got to Bethlehem, she had already repented and resolved in her heart to go back to Bethlehem. Can I give you a New Testament verse? Let me give you a New Testament verse. I feel like preaching a while, but I'm going to be done in just a minute. Brethren, Galatians 6:1. Brethren, that's the saved. I'm preaching real good. That's the saved. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. When you are moved as they was in Bethlehem, you know what it says to the preacher? You're not spiritual. You're a Pharisee. It's preaching time this morning. You know what? If I was up here preaching on dress and drinking and all that, y'all would be shouting amen. The reason you're not shouting amen is because maybe we've just walked right up in your alley. Who was they to say, who is that? Tell you what they should have done. They should have run up to her and said, hey, Naomi. If she heard that they was bred, somebody back in Bethlehem had already heard what Naomi had been through. People doesn't change. They'd already heard, and you want me to tell you what they should have done? Come here, Naomi. Come help the preacher again. Hurry, come here, Naomi. You've got right with God. Here's what they should have done. Hey, Naomi, boy, I sure am sorry what happened. I hate you had to bury your husband. I hate you had to bury your boys. I don't know what you've been through, But I do know this. I do know this. There's some bread right here. And if we'll take this bread, we can break it open. And according to this bread, it says to restore you. So I tell you what you need to do. You just need to come on back to Bethlehem. You find you a place. You jump in and get back faithful with us. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You can sit down, Naomi. That's what happened to Naomi. One writer said this. He said the only reason that Ruth was in Boaz's field was because nobody else would let her in their field because she was a Moabite. Makes a lot of sense when you think about it. When you think about the relationship, I don't have time to preach all manners and customs and all those things. May we never be the one that is moved. Everyone else is, listen, I'm done. Everyone else is murmuring about Naomi. But God says, you've repented, and I'll show you grace. You remember her name. It means pleasant, delightful, and sweet. The law and the Pharisees condemn her. But grace says, oh no. Because you've repented and returned home, I'll keep calling you pleasant. I'll keep calling you delightful, and I'll keep calling you sweet, because nowhere else in the Bible will you find her mentioned as Mara. She's always Naomi. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. God took her from Mara to mercy. Her return from bitterness to Bethlehem. I wish I had time to preach a restoration from emptiness to encouragement. There was provision of food. There was provision of favor. There was provision of faith. What about her reward? From sorrow to satisfaction. A grandson is given, and his name is Obed. And according to chapter number 4, it means this. It said this about him in chapter number 4. He was the restorer of life. You see, when you come back home, God will take all that bitterness and He'll make it pleasant again. He'll make it sweet again. And let me tell you what He'll do. He'll restore to you the life that you once had and the bread. I feel like preaching this morning. That's the God I serve. That's the God I serve. I said that's the God I serve. I don't know who walked in this morning and you feel like your story's over. You feel like bitterness today. You got one or two choices. You can live in that bitterness, or you can return to Bethlehem. You can return to Bethlehem. So, what's everybody else going to say? I just tell you this. You get to chapter 4, and let me tell you who's sitting in Boaz's house. Naomi. Oh, yes. Let me tell you what God does. God uses Naomi's daughter-in-law, Ruth, who the whole book's written about, uses her to bring the lineage of David, which is the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And let me tell you how Ruth got in that. There was a day that a lady realized she was in a mess, that she had missed God's will, and she returned to Bethlehem. And God took her Mara and gave mercy. And God took her bitterness and made a blessing. What you going to allow God to do with your life today?